The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Amen, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, amen, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." The Gospel of the Lord. The prophet Jeremiah calls God the Lord, the very same way that we as Christians refer to Jesus Christ. Now, in his times, many people called him teacher. There's a big difference. If you go to university, you choose whatever courses you want to take. You listen to your teacher and you discern what you consider to be true. You have to make up your mind and you receive this knowledge and you go forth in life seeking to pursue your profession. Not so with the Lord. The Lord means God. So we don't refer to Jesus simply as a teacher where we are free to take what we like and leave the rest. When we call him Lord, it means we absolutely surrender to him. We recognize him as the head where we are the body. Now, many good people sustain that Jesus is a great teacher. They actually even accept many of his teachings. But that doesn't mean they're Christian. They simply admire him as a great teacher. We as Christians accept him as the Lord. It's important to have this framework before we enter into this gospel, because correction of brother or sister is not about going to set the record straight because I feel wounded or hurt. It has nothing to do with that. In fact, if you suspect that is the reason, it's best to hold off and not do it. Because Jesus, as Lord, has called us to be responsible for one another, helping each other stay in the path that leads to salvation. In fact, before you go and correct another person, it's important that you remember other teachings of Christ so that we take the truth all together. There's another teaching that says, before you seek to correct a brother and remove the speck of his eye, look at the beam that you have on your own. And that means that our primary responsibility is self-correction. And that leads us to another important matter. This gospel is not only about us correcting others, but the disposition for us to receive correction. So before you go and correct a brother or a sister, be honest. Are you willing to receive correction and to be grateful for it? This is what really demonstrates spiritual maturity. Not just to say, hey, okay, thank you very much, but do I take it into account and really seriously seek to correct my path so that I grow in the Lord? And so the framework for everything, as we saw in the second reading, is to hold each other in love. That is why we do all things. Another important aspect of this teaching is that we're first meant to do it alone with the person, because we must respect that person's dignity and that person's respect before the community. We don't want to embarrass the person. It's an act of love that we're doing. Correction is particularly important among family members. Particularly, parents should correct their children. And you, children, receive it as a great act of love. A good parent corrects the children because the parents want the children to grow up to be real men and women of God, to have knowledge and understanding of the way to fulfillment in Christ. And finally, we see that Jesus refers to the church as a final point of reference and criteria for correction and knowing what is right and wrong. And this is a fundamental trait of being a Catholic. We know what is right and wrong ultimately by referring to the church. A priest may be wrong. A bishop may be wrong. But the church, in what pertains to doctrine and morals, we know to be right because of the protection that Jesus promised upon her. And so we accept and we submit to the teaching of the church as the final criteria. That is why we see today, when we have public figures who call themselves Catholic but are not accepting a fundamental principle of Catholic faith, where the bishops have the responsibility to say, you can't say that is your position and at the same time say that you're Catholic. And here is the bishops exercising their responsibility in this gospel. The ultimate purpose of this, of course, is the hope that the person will reconsider and turn back to the Lord. Jesus wants to exclude no one, but wants to invite all to come back to the fullness of life. His ultimate purpose is that we all live in the truth and make it to heaven.